Techtopia, en podcast om teknologi og mennesker, udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Mediehuset Ingeniøren, IBM, KMD, DI's digitaliseringsindsats, Herning Messecenter og IDA Forsikring. Din vært er Henrik Føns.
Techtopia. Velkommen til den allerførste udgave af Techtopia, podcasten, hvor vi kigger på både utopierne og dystopierne, når vi skal ud og besøge visionære mennesker og virksomheder, der er i gang med at bygge den fremtid, vi alle sammen skal bo i. Så hvis du er klar, så vil jeg gerne starte med en lyd netop fra fremtiden. Vi starter i det 23. århundrede, nemlig i science fiction filmen Star Trek, hvor astronauterne bruger et værktøj kendt som en tricorder, et apparat, som kan optage og analysere data. En af de mange forskellige versioner af tricorderen, som optræder i Star Trek-filmene, er en medicinsk tricorder, der via sensorer kan indsamle data om en persons sundhedstilstand og sende dem til en læge, som kan stille en diagnose, og lægen er i det her tilfælde så et hologram. Det er en fin idé for fiktionens verden, men her der spoler vi altså tilbage til 2012, hvor organisationen XPRIZE sammen med chipproducenten Qualcomm lancerede The Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE. Deltagerne kunne vinde hele $10 million, hvis de kunne lave en medicinsk tricorder, en trådløs, bærbar gadget, som kan diagnostisere 13 forskellige sygdomstilstande samt måle 5 vitale indikatorer, som f.eks. blodtryk, puls og temperatur. Og så måtte der i modsætning til i Star Trek-filmene ikke være en læge involveret. Alle, du og jeg og din gamle bedstemor, skal kunne bruge tricorderen og få en diagnose, uden at der er en læge til stede. Ideen med XPRIZE er at få de deltagende hold til at smide så mange timer og så meget mandskab som muligt i projektet, og ikke alene finde en vinder, men nærmest kickstarte en hel industri, baseret på al den innovation, som de mange deltagere skaber. XPRIZE har for eksempel allerede gjort det med privat rumfart. 312 hold fra 38 forskellige lande deltog i tricorder-konkurrencen, og i midten af april 2017 blev vinderen kåret. Holdet kaldte sig selv Final Frontier Medical Devices. De kommer fra Philadelphia i den amerikanske stat Pennsylvania, og de blev belønnet med en check på $2.5 million eller 17 millioner danske kroner. Deres firma hedder nu Basil Leaf, opkaldt efter deres leder, holdets leder. Han hedder Basil Harris, og han er læge på en skadestue, men han er også ingeniør af uddannelse. I 5 år har hans hold bestående af familie og venner arbejdet hårdt på en tricorder i Basils private hjem. Jeg fik fat i ham og barndomsvennen Philip Chorin via Skype, fordi jeg gerne ville høre, hvordan de gjorde og hvorfor de ofrede alt deres fritid i 5 år på at lave en hardware startup i spisestuen.
Basil Harris, I'm a full-time ER doctor and an engineer background before going into medicine. And, we started up this little group, came together to participate in the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE. So our whole organization was founded and our only focus has been to work on this project.
Yeah, and my name is Phil Chiron, and by day, I am the Senior Vice President of Consulting and Talent at an organization called Think Company in Philadelphia. We're a experienced design consultancy. We have 77 employees. We work with Fortune 500 companies, usually in highly regulated industries. So about 4 years ago when Basil approached me, Basil and I grew up together. We met when we were about 12 or 13. When he approached me 4 years ago and said, "Hey, do you want to join my XPRIZE team?" I said, "I'm not an engineer and I'm not a doctor. I don't really know where I can help." He said, "Well, about a third of the scoring mechanism for XPRIZE is on user experience. So I think you have a lot that you have to offer." And I got really excited. And so I joined the team.
The whole team is made up of people that have full-time jobs doing other things. And we basically just come together on nights, weekends, spare time. To put this thing together. That's what we've been doing the last 5 years or so, and we're still trying to figure out how to move forward. But it is it's been a night and weekend thing.
Men hvordan får man egentlig overtalt familie og venner til at hoppe på ideen om at lave en dims, der optræder i en science fiction film til virkelighed?
Yeah, so we're all Star Trek and science fiction junkies from young age, and interested in in technology. Most of us went into science and technology fields, even though I'm in medicine now. Prior to that, I was an engineer for years. And just, you know, when this project came along and the chance to build a tricorder, I couldn't pass that up. It seemed like a perfect fit for the matching engineering technology with what I've been doing the last 15 years or so in medicine, which is making diagnoses. In the emergency department, you know, patients come in and basically I'm there as they come in with all kinds of symptoms and complaints and issues. And that's my job, is to figure out what's going on with them. What's their diagnosis? And so the way that Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE was set up is it's more than just the tricorder from Star Trek. It's if you recall, Dr. McCoy is holding the device, looking at it, getting all the information, but he's still there. The information still getting interpreted by a physician on the Star Trek Starship Enterprise. For this contest, they thought that was too easy. Let's take the doctor out and have to put him into the device. So this is this tricorder not only has to gather all the information directly from the user who doesn't have any medical background, and that's where Phil comes in. Came in brilliantly to try and how does a user actually interface with this device that's pretty complicated in a simple and understandable way, and then have to get that information reliably and go to the next step and actually interpret it and come up with a diagnosis and a plan that's understandable and actionable by the user. So it was quite a challenge, but very exciting from the beginning. We're still in shock that we made it this far, but we had the right ingredients with the team.
Og hvad kan Dexter, som tricorderen hedder, så egentlig gøre? Hvordan ser den ud, og hvordan bruger man den?
So the Dexter is, it's a medical kit. So there are several components, pieces of hardware that the user interacts with, and they're guided with a tablet computer. It could be a smartphone or a tablet. For our device, it's an iPad mini, and that's the main interface that's guiding the user in taking the components out of the kit, running them through a very comprehensive medical examination, and then it's gathering all that data and information and synthesizing it into a diagnosis and a plan. So the whole interaction can take a half an hour or so. Or you could be monitored for several days. I could show you a couple components here.
Basil Harris hiver et foto og nogle 3D-printede prototyper frem for at fortælle om Dexter.
There's five different pieces of hardware there, and the sixth one being the tablet computer. So that's the main meat of the whole system. And then there's a urine test kit and a couple other little things in there. That the user would the system would ask the user to use if the thought, through its AI and its diagnostic engine process, after gathering a bunch of data, it tells you, hey, you might be having an issue in this area. Let's test some more to get some more objective information to decide, do you have a urinary infection or not?
To understand it correctly. I mean, you pee in this urine thing, and then you can actually connect it to the tablet, to the iPad, and it can come up with a result for you.
That's correct. So if to go down that pathway, if you're going with the urine test, you basically it guides you. It says get the urine into the cup. It doesn't give you the step by step for that process, but you can figure that out, and then it guides you in how to test it. So you get this cup of urine. It gives you a little clean platform to work on, and you dunk a test card in there, and then the iPad camera is used to analyze the reaction and gives you results on 10 different reactions that are going on to decide whether you have an infection. Do you have ketones in your urine, glucose in your urine, or other abnormal substances? all the AI and everything. The iPad has more than enough power to handle this type of thing. A device like this can automate, you know, it can work without an internet connection. Like, so you could be in some remote area and still be able to function.
What do the other components do?
Now, one of the main things is it's gathering vital signs and it's gathering all the objective information. And one of the first pieces that you take out is the, we'll call it the orb, the Dexter orb. And so this is actually a couple things. It's a digital stethoscope with a little diaphragm here being the logo. And then also has an infrared thermometer. So you're guided in the user. It would end up taking your shirt off, but it would tell you where to put the device and take some breath sounds and analyze those lung sounds for abnormalities like wheezing or rails, which is fluid in your lung. And then you would also be able to take a digital temperature across your forehead and temple area. So that's one of the components that it guides you through. And then there's a chest sensor device that you could see on the photo and then here. And this would be it's a running EKG that would give you your heart rhythm, your heart rate, whether you have an abnormal rhythm like atrial fibrillation. It also has a temperature sensor on it, so it can give you a continuous monitoring of your temperature, your body temperature, and it also is a sensor for measuring your respiratory rate. That's one of the devices that you would actually continuously wear on your chest if you wanted to be monitored over a longer period of time.
And does it communicate with the iPad via Bluetooth or?
Yes. Yeah. Everything goes through Bluetooth to the iPad to send all the data. So like the breath sounds that we gather, all the lung sounds from the different locations, all that that audio that's collected is sent to the iPad to crunch through our analysis. So it does it actually converts the audio into a video file and does a spectral analysis of it to look to pick up whether you have the wheezing or whether you have rails or other abnormalities. So it does that. Another device. Is a spirometer that we built. So this is just a Venturi tube type of device, and you would breathe through this and blow through this, and this is to measure your lung function to figure out whether you have a restrictive lung disease like COPD or emphysema. It can also be used to help monitor and maintain health in asthmatics. And so you could get peak flows and determine, you know, your progress and your health with that. So those are the three that I just grabbed from the side over here. But you'll see a couple other components there. There's a blood pressure unit, a conventional blood pressure unit that's used in calibrating the system during the startup. But then we're monitoring blood pressure continuously over time using a non-cuffed method with pulse transit time. So that's pretty cool. And then a wrist sensor that you would put on little finger clips to monitor your pulse ox, monitor your, it also gets another measure of your heart rate. And then we're also using that for a non-invasive way to get a measure of your glucose, your hemoglobin, and your white cell counts. And that's continuously monitored over the time as well.
So how many conditions can you actually measure with this kit?
For the competition, the Qualcomm Tricorder X Prize contest, it was tested at UCSD for 13 conditions. We have it programmed for well over 25 conditions, up to 34 or so. We haven't tested all of those ones at the fringes, but you know, this is something that's really easily expandable. As we build the brains of it, the diagnostic engine out, and add other hardware components, it's completely adaptable to gather more information and grow. So we started with the core 13 conditions, and that's what the contest was based on. And it's cool conditions because it really shows a variety of body systems, acute illnesses, chronic diseases. it was a great demonstration project to show the breadth of what a tricorder like this can accomplish.
Ideen er altså, at man undersøger sine symptomer derhjemme, og hvis det er alvorligt, ja, så tager man ind til Basil Harris på skadestuen, hvor han på baggrund af tricorderens data hurtigt kan sætte sig ind i, hvad der skal ske. Han behøver ikke at undersøge og bestille laboratorieprøver. Han kan gå lige til sagen med det samme.
Well, yeah, you take everything in entirety. So just like I would do in the hospital. If someone comes in with a certain set of symptoms, you know, that gets taken into account. Also their vital signs, the objective data and all the analysis, all gets fed into these algorithms. And it makes the decisions on what follow-up tests need to happen. Do we put more weight on what's going on with the spirometer or the urine test or things? And just like a doctor weighs, you know, the evidence for a diagnosis and the evidence that is against the diagnosis. And we come down on a decision on every condition across the board. So the end result is an actual diagnosis and a plan of action of what to do. That's how the contest was designed, a completely autonomous kit that would you'd interact with and come up with an actual diagnosis. And so that's a cool concept. You know, it was fun competition. In reality, when this kit comes out onto the market, it's not meant to replace physicians. I'm not trying to put myself out of a job, but it's really meant as a tool that's going to help make physicians and medical providers their jobs more efficient. It's meant to help increase access to care. It's meant to work in conjunction with your medical provider. So it's something that you would have in your home, you would interact with, get some information, and that would be transmitted to your medical provider, and it would give you some advice, and the medical provider would be able to view it and give you advice and come up with a plan together.
Men en ting er at lave en prototype til en konkurrence, en anden ting er at få den godkendt som medicinsk udstyr. Lige nu arbejder Basil Leaf på at få Dexter godkendt af FDA, den amerikanske sundhedsstyrelse, og det foregår en dims ad gangen.
Now the competition's over, but the hard work begins. So the competition is great, but it's not FDA approved for sale. We're working on going through the rigors of clinical trials now with the individual components to get each one its approval, and then that's how we have to build the kit out initially. So we are working on our hand sensor, the finger probe, for getting that one approved. That's the first our first target clinical trial that's in progress now at my home hospital here in Philadelphia. And then you know, we have to go through those less glamorous type of clinical trials. You know, this is where the work starts. So this current clinical trial should end within the end of 2017.
En ting er tilbehøret, som skal måle puls, temperatur og tage urinprøver osv. En anden ting er hjernen i Dexter. Hvad sker der, når lægen bliver en intelligent app? Der må have været en del etiske overvejelser omkring spisebordet i Basil Harris' hus, mens der blev arbejdet på Dexter.
Using artificial intelligence to make a diagnosis, I think, you know, the way the contest, I think we discussed earlier, is designed completely autonomously without any interaction of any medical personnel. It's a cool concept. I think eventually, maybe 50 years from now, we'll have something like the doctor on Star Trek Voyager, hologram version of a doctor. But, you know, this artificial intelligence like this is going to have to earn our trust, basically, as a society, as consumers, as physicians. So this is a very basic beginning for that type of tech. It's going to be a long road where it's going to really have to earn its way and be proven. So we're not advocating, you know, putting this thing out in the wild. and into on its own and replacing physicians.
I think another ethical concept that we talked about a lot on the project was just around ownership of the data that we're collecting. I know in the EU, medical privacy is paramount. It is in the United States also. Every country approaches it differently. In the U.S., traditionally, the companies, the organizations that collect medical data technically own that data as long as they treat it in an anonymous format. So they can't associate it with a patient's name or any kind of identifying information. But the, you know, there's a belief in the U.S. that that data is really valuable. And our device collects a lot of medical data on people. If there's a way where we can continuously track people's, not just their diagnoses and not just their vital signs, but also all of the symptoms that contribute to diagnosing their disease. If we can look at all of that in an anonymous way and have a diagnostic artificial intelligence that's constantly adjusting itself based on what it sees out there in the multitude of medical data, then it will help everyone. And it will help us even be able to track and identify things like the movement of diseases geographically, all of that. So from an ethical perspective, the challenge is how do we do that in a way that we protect the privacy of every individual, but also help to advance medical science to a point where these devices can be more and more accurate.
Tactopia. 5 år og en masse frivillig arbejde senere. Hvordan gjorde de det egentlig? Foregik det i garagen, som i så mange andre startups? Nej, det her det er nemlig ikke en garage-startup. Det er en spisestue-startup, og hele familien var med.
I'm in my house right now, and we've been building here. This has been a place of a lot of activity over the last few years. And so this is a prototype. It's not something that is absolutely ready for market. These are 3D printed cases, you know, that we would have to get these things manufactured a little bit more ruggedly before deploying. So, oh, Phil's putting up pictures.
I'm going to go through some pictures of our lab. Actually, these are the wrong pictures. Let me find.
Phil, han viser fotos over Skype. Fotos fra hele familien løjet på spisebordet eller sidder samlet sofaarrangementet med deres bærbare computere.
There's some construction photos in here. I just can't. This is the lab. This is George, who's the co-founder with Basil. He's the software engineer. He wrote all the software. Here's Basil building one of our devices. Here's Basil's father, who was helping us out a lot. He's turning 80 this year, Basil.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And his sister Julia. So there were quite a few.
Yeah, that's our kitchen. That's my kitchen table.
The lab in quotation marks was really just every open space in Basil's house. You've been interacting with Angela on the phone. Basil's wife. She's an extremely patient. hostess.
Yes,
allowed us to take over her house for 4 or 5 years to develop this.
It's been great because of all the, you know, family support and friends. You know, this has been a friends and family kind of project. Constant activity here.
So how much money, how much time do you actually spend? I mean, what was the cost of developing this?
You know, the amount that we've put into it. You know, we're still obviously all working full time, supporting ourselves, doing all of this on the side. So that cost, if you were to have actual salaries and employ people to do the amount of work that we put into it, would be above $5 million, I'm sure, for the amount of time. The hard currency that we've had to put out to actually build our circuit boards and get those manufactured, and we do all of that locally. We design with our team members that have electrical engineering experience and circuit design and programming. We design everything in-house, literally in-house here, and then we build the circuit boards at a local firm. Here, right outside of Philadelphia, to actually put the chip in the boards and flow the solder and bake the boards and do all that. So everything is here, but the outlay in actual hard currency was somewhere around $500,000 for us, but that doesn't include any blood, sweat, and tears.
XPRIZE did survey us and ask us to, you know, estimate the amount of hours that we put in as a team.
Oh, yeah.
I just looked up that email, Bayes, and it's between 23 and 24,000 hours that the team put into the project. And then we estimate an additional 5,000 hours of contractor time, plus the $500,000 of our money that we put in. And that's, I feel like that's a conservative estimate because I got emails from Basil at any time of the day or night.
Det lyder jo lidt som en familiepiknik i højt humør, men der må også have været svære beslutninger og nedture undervejs.
You know, there were many different setbacks, technological discoveries that we made. There were, you know, rules that would surface from XPRIZE or feedback that they would give us. And
yes, yeah, I compare it to that movie, The Martian, where, you know, in the Martian, if you've seen that film, he's just, you know, trying to survive. And everything is just one disaster after another, that he just a problem that has to be solved. And then you go to the next problem and you solve that. And then you go to the next one and you solve that. And you have that goal off in the distance, obviously. But you're just solving one problem after the other.
And something that I think was really interesting was that sometime around November 2015, there was one round and XPRIZE recognized that we all needed to go back and do a little bit more work on that. And you know, if you think about Moore's Law, we had invested all of our effort into technology 2 years prior that had all kinds of technological limitations. And when we had that opportunity to go back and consider redesigning and re-engineering, the engineers on the team recognized that all of a sudden we could, you know, not change the product fundamentally, but invest in new chips and new circuitry because things had changed over that period of time. And all of a sudden the device is going to be faster, more efficient. It was going to be able to collect a higher resolution of data, all of the things that we dreamed of 2 years prior. And so we could have just gone in and fixed from a design perspective some of the flaws that we knew were, you know, we had discovered through the user testing. And instead of just doing that, we actually we didn't throw the whole thing out, but the devices were completely re-engineered and delivered in less than a year. So that was it was about November 2015, Basil.
Somewhere around there.
We handed in 40 new devices by August. So, you know, the original R&D that lasted maybe 3 years, from early 2013 all the way to November 2015, all of a sudden that time period shrunk down to 9 months because everything was engineered. It just needed to be, you know, reconfigured for new technology. And that was, that was both a concerning time, but it was also very there was a lot of energy in the team because you could see all of a sudden they were like, wow, the data's better. You know, we're getting a higher resolution of data, or the Bluetooth technology that we've shifted over to is much faster. So we can do a lot more better things. And that was really a great turning point, I think, in the project for us.
Before we knew that we won, I mean, we already have been planning and starting the next steps. I have a roadmap of how to get these things through the FDA, get the clinical trials done that we need to. You know, now that we have some more assistance with our winnings, you know, we can move that roadmap a little faster. We're moving and getting this done.
Og det sagde altså Basil Harris, der er lederen af det team, som har lavet Tricorderen. Når denne gang bliver sat til salg, måske i 2018, ja, så er tanken, at den kommer til at koste $200 oven i den smartphone eller tablet, som man altså også skal have for at bruge den, altså ca. 1400 kroner ekstra. Spørgsmålet er så, vil du have den som fast inventar i dit toilet eller medicinskab? Det kan du tænke over til næste mandag, hvor vi høres ved igen. I mellemtiden kan du skrive til os på tektopia@ida.dk. Eller du kan besøge hjemmesiden tektopia.dk. Du kan også finde os på facebook.com/tektopia.dk eller følge os på Twitter, hvor vi hedder @tektopia.dk. på genhør i næste uge.
Techtopia, en podcast om teknologi og mennesker, udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Mediehuset Ingeniøren, IBM, KMD, DI's digitaliseringsindsats, Herning Messecenter og IDA Forsikring. Din vært er Henrik Føns. Techtopia.